Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When I was in the military, I always had imposter syndrome.
Really?
Even though I'd passed all these courses, I kept thinking, I'm going to trip up.
Hello and welcome to the Stompcast with me, Dr. Alex George. This is the podcast where I go for a walk with a guest to take a little wander into their life. This week, I'm stomping with former Special Forces soldier and the longest serving directing staff on SES Who Dares Wins, Jason Fox. Jason joined the Royal Marine Commandos at 16, serving for 10 years, after which he passed the grueling selection process for the Special Forces, serving with the Special Boat Service for over a decade and reaching the rank of sergeant. One can only imagine some of the things that he saw during his tours of Afghanistan. It almost doesn't bear thinking about. But after leaving the military, his career took quite a different turn. He was recruited for the Channel 4 show SES Who Dares Wins, and since 2015 has been pushing the contestants to their limits to see if they have what it takes to get into the Special Forces. Jason's new book, Embrace the Chaos, 52 Tactics to Make Everyday Count, sets a revolutionary programme of personal challenges designed to help you reboot, disrupt your thinking, and grow your capabilities. This conversation took so many different twists and turns. It was fascinating to hear Jason's experience, you know, talking about things like PTSD from some of the things that happened in the military, but also what going on a show like SES Who Dares Wins teaches you about life and why doing hard things is actually good for us. Honestly, this is a fantastic episode. I really enjoyed this one. I know you're going to find it so interesting. And also you can hear a bit about Matt Hancock and what he was like on SES Who Dares Wins. So there's a reason to stick around, that's for sure. I really enjoyed his company and what a fantastic guy. Let's dive in, shall we? Well, welcome to the Stompcast. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
You're good. Well, first of all, congratulations on your new book. It's always, I guess, a nice feeling. But of course, a lot of work goes into the kind of writing process and things. I mean, we're out on a nice day. I was just joking with you as we kind of were getting mic'd up that I'm kind of glad we're not. As much as I loved the episode with Billy, he's absolutely fantastic. I'm glad we're not climbing a mountain and it's not sideways rain. It's actually quite a nice day, isn't it?
It is a nice day, considering yesterday was pretty rubbish.
Yeah, that's a good one. Honestly, like, I think my favourite, especially in London, my favourite time of year is spring, because when you get a bit of optimism coming out of the winter time, but the sun,
yeah.
Let's be honest, it can get a little hot in August sometimes. We had the time when...
Especially now.
Well, yeah, a couple of years, what was it, 2 years ago when like you had like buildings on fire.
No, it was. Do you know what? That period, I'd bust my leg. So I had my leg.
You remember it well.
It was made even worse by the fact that I was incapacitated.
Oh, so you were like limping away.
Crutches.
You're sweating a lot anyway.
It was boiling. Yeah. It was. I can remember that hottest day as well.
You were cursing it.
Yeah. It was just uncomfortable.
Yeah, that is the thing with it, isn't it? Like I guess it's probably true. They say there's no such thing as bad weather. It's the wrong clothing or wrong items. You probably know, given your
a big plastic boot was pretty much the wrong item for that summer.
Probably wouldn't have smelt too great.
Well, you know the score. I can wash it for bloody ages.
Yeah, that is the problem. But hey, we have to embrace the weather. And on that there we go. There's a segue. Embrace the chaos. You know, that's the book. Yes, you like what I did there. I just wonder if you could talk a little bit about why you wanted to write this book. You know, I like the fact, one of the things I realised is that you've got the 52 kind of challenges and weeks that you focus on. You kind of break it into a different thing that people can do each week to kind of build, you know, the health, the life, mindset and stuff. I just wonder if you could explain a little bit, like, why did you decide to kind of do this book now, and what is it you're hoping to achieve from the book?
So the reason I wanted to do another book, so I've done, this is the third one. The reason I wanted to do it was because I love the whole process of doing books. And I do it with a guy called Matt Allen, who's a genius. He does all the hard work. He's the one that basically translates what's in my head into legible print, you know, something that people can understand. And but I love the whole process. I've had a brilliant experience with my publishers. And I was like, right, I want to do another one. And then as we were looking at what it was going to be, suddenly realised that this is like the third book in an unplanned trilogy. The first one, Battle Scars, was like, is my autobiography. Yeah, but that's like the case study. Then Life Under Fire was the theory that, you know, the stuff that I implemented that got me through what that journey was. Embrace the Chaos is like the practical that people can now take and apply. And what I wanted to do initially was make it a bit more visual. I wanted it to be a deck of cards that we would have a bit of artwork. And so there was like four suits to life and 13 tactics per suit. Obviously the publisher's like, yeah, you're not doing that. You're going to write a book.
It's going to be a book.
So we basically just put it into the book, and that's where it came from. And I was like, sat down with Matt and I was like, that's what I want to do. Let's break life down into four parts that we rotate through and, you know, see if it works and see if we can make sense of it. And that's what we did.
So could you talk to a little bit about what the four parts are and why you've chosen those?
So the four parts, as according to moi, I'm quite happy for people to pick me up on this one, but you've got mission, which is essentially all the things that you plan that can seem daunting. You're looking forward to it, but it can sometimes go wrong without the proper attention paid. And that can be anything from moving house, starting a new job, looking for a new job. It can be as little as wanting to get a little bit fitter, lose a bit of weight, any of those, you know, things that you plan that could become a little bit daunting. You know, what do you need to do for that? How do you start? How do you find out what your mission is if you're not too sure? What's your why? Remind yourself about what the mission is when you're going through it periodically, because sometimes you can lose track and you lose sort of focus.
So your direction and stuff.
Yeah, your direction. And, you know, I use some of the examples I do use are quite extreme, like when me and friends go away and start planning expeditions. That's like a big mission, but you can apply tactics that we use to anything, really. So that's your mission. Then you've got recovery, which is a period that you need to embrace after, you know, big events, things that you've planned, like moving a house. Once you've got it all done and you're a lot skinner, you then need to sort of recover from that. In bed, you know, start enjoying what you've achieved and look at how you could do it better next time, if you want to do it again next time, or what you've learned about yourself going forward. That's that recovery period. Then you've got chaos, which is essentially life.
That's the unplanned things you can't control.
Yeah, anything from injuries, you know, severe illness, bereavement, you know, anything, car crashes, washing machine breaking down, it could be as trivial.
It's always
as
the
that.
Final straw, usually.
Yeah, there's always something. And so, you know, what happens then? What do you do in chaos? How do you sort of like compartmentalize and deal with it? And then the last one's calm, which is sort of what I mean by calm. It's almost like COVID, the pandemic. What happens in those periods where you're not really wanting to be not busy, but there's nothing going on. You know, how do you make that a positive? How do you utilize that? That
like almost being able to sit in the calm and just
be embrace calm. It. Like,
you know, which of the four are you best at, and which is the one you find hardest?
I'm best at chaos, I think. I like chaos.
I actually thought you'd say that.
I don't want it. Yeah. But I've got older now, and I've spent a lot of time working on me and how I'm a good person to other people. But I've found myself, when I look back at my life, I have been a classic person who just presses that red button when things are comfortable. And I don't know what that comes... Wah! I think it's to do with, you know, my military life and everything else that was sort of going on at the same time. I suppose it's something to do with that. But I do enjoy, like, if something's going wrong, I feel like I operate better. I feel like I'm switching on a bit more. I'm like, oh, you know, stuff's gone wrong. What do I need to do? What's going on around me? How can I make this?
And you're physically, when you're talking that, you actually are looking around. Are you always kind of quite prepared, like, to deal with, like...
Yeah, I think
not a cheesy way, but do you feel like you've literally been trained for that, right?
When I went through my bout of PTSD and like bad, poor mental health, I kept getting told, look, a lot of this is because you're hypervigilant, because you've probably needed to be and you need to calm down. And I'm not too sure about that, because when they said you need to stop doing that, I was like, I don't want to stop doing that. I'm like, I'm happy with being at least semi-vigilant, so I'm not going to get tripped up by something, or try not to get tripped up by something. I think what I've done is just learn to temper it. You know, if I'm out and about in London, I'll be vigilant, because the place is an absolute shit show, isn't it, sometimes?
There can be some, it does, you know, some of the things that you see happen even on the news, you can understand why people do feel genuinely quite unnerved.
Especially Clapham. I mean, you've got acid attacks, you've got shotguns.
I forgot, yeah, Jesus, yeah, I actually forgot that happened.
That's only over there.
Yeah, it just shows you, like, how genuinely, like... You never know what's around the corner in life. I don't want to say that to kind of unnerve people, but you kind of...
No, it's true.
It's kind of, you don't know what will happen. I guess there's an argument of, like, well, how much do you just prepare for the worst all the time, and how much should you be vigilant, versus how much do you have to just kind of accept risk?
Yeah.
Risk.
There's got to be acceptance as well. I think that's... I like to think that I'm prepared for chaos, but I'm not going to keep thinking about it. I had a clinical psychologist who sort of was very good for me, once I'd eventually found her, and she, in a roundabout way, taught me about, you know, the whole, I have an analogy, it's in the book actually, like the toddler analogy. You've got to live life more like a toddler, where they don't really care about what has happened, and they're not worried about the future, something that hasn't happened, they're just more in the now. So I try and do that. Even I'm an adult, so barely, but I'm an adult, and I'm always worried about certain bits and pieces, you know. I value my missus. I worry for her sometimes if she's feeling ill. I'm like, oh, I don't want her to be ill, you know, all those sort of things.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I try not to overthink things. Because, I live in London. I mean, you'd never leave the house if you listened to the news and thought that that was going to be something that happened to you on a regular basis. So you've just got to sort of park it as well.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I mean, you know, you spent a long time in the military. You joined, I think, when you were 16, is it right? So you're young. You couldn't, you've seen, you know, I can only, I couldn't actually imagine some of the stuff that you've seen. It's interesting.
No, no different to you. To be fair. Oh, it's just a slightly different industry.
The difference is, though, you're very. Do you know what I must say? You're a very humble person. You've got this. You've got this thing about you where, like, you've done and been in such crazy situations. You've done actually a lot in your life as well, but you've got such a humbleness. I really wanted to say that. But you know, I guess the difference is that, you know, working in a hospital, largely apart from actually the COVID time. Yes, you can have some people that behave badly and, you know, some people get drunk in A&E, but we're not in danger. We see difficult things, but you've obviously been in a situation where you're seeing difficult things and you're in incredible danger. How it's interesting the kind of thought of, like, we're talking about safety in London, but the places you've been, people would say, oh my God, they're so unsafe. So how do you kind of... Do you think about the comparison of the two? Is it weird living in London and thinking about normal things like, is my house secure versus the things that you've seen and done?
So I think I've managed to overlay how I deal with danger and risk in the military to how I now do it at home. But the thing that I'd say about the military is it was a bit simpler, because we'd go away. So as an example, being a soldier's changed as well. It's changed considerably. But when you go away for a period of time. And in that period, whether it's 6 to 9, it's normally 6 to 9 months, you know that you're going to be engaging in some pretty crazy stuff. But it's a very black and white world. There's you, and there's another group of people who don't like you, and you're going to try and have a pop at each other. And you just sort of, that's obvious. You know what you're not supposed to do, you know where you're supposed to be. Timings, you know, you're not going out on the piss, drinking and having a laugh, you're sort of clean, switched on, so on and so forth. You come back home, and it's just, there's so many grey areas in normal life where you're not, we're in a civilised country, theoretically. I shouldn't be worrying about certain things, you know, but you can cross the road and get belted by a bus, you know, and there's all sorts of other things you've got to be thinking about. I've got to be thinking about how my missus feels in the relationship, and have I said something that's out of order, or is she pissed off at me because I've said something, or is it because there's something, you know, there's all that.
Yeah.
That doesn't really...
So almost what you're saying is that when you're, you know, at work in the military, it's more clearly defined what your dangers are and what your good and danger.
As extreme as they are, it's clearly defined.
Whereas and then do you think there's a lot of challenges for people coming out of the military back to... You know, civilian, I guess, environments in terms of, I guess, you know, we were talking about being vigilant, like downgrading the vigilance, downgrading the, and being able to go back into quote unquote normal life.
I think there is a big, big problem for people that do have to do that. I think the key to a lot of it, though, is that's missed is communication. Like look at soldiers, people in the military, they're taught to communicate very well. Quite frankly, in lots of different ways. They come home and they haven't got a Scooby how to communicate. They don't know how to communicate to the people that are closest to them. And I think that's the same for a lot of people, to be honest. I mean, you come home, you feel differently, you probably feel a bit hypervigilant, you feel like you're an outsider because life's cracked on without you. You never say all that. I think what would have saved half my relationships was if I'd have actually said, it's been a tough old 6 months. I feel a bit weird. And I'm well aware that I feel a bit outside to what you've got going on. You've got your own routines going on. The kids are doing this. And, you know, how do we go about making each other feel good about me integrating back into this? No, that sounds like a pretty sensible thing to do. And I've never done it.
Yeah.
No, I do it now with my missus. Like my going away isn't as extreme. Go away and film a bit of TV, or
but it's still got its challenges, and it's still like
still
you're still
got its
going.
Challenges, but weirdly, I come home and there's this weird period where my missus doesn't know how to treat me, and I feel a bit off about being at home. And it's like, but I talk about that now. I'm like, oh, we're in that period where I'm like,
settling back into it.
I tell her that she treats me like a chick that's fallen out of a nest. you know, you become outcast, and they're like, the mum bird doesn't want it back because it's gone. And there's this.
I'm sure she'd give a different version.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, more like, you're like the gorilla that's come back home. But,
You can imagine how that's different. I mean, it's very different in the situation. And my brother didn't serve in combat and things like that. But my brother worked in the RAF, and he was there for like, about 8 or 9 years. And he worked working on the planes as a tech. An engineer. And he loved it. But I think even what he was saying was like, he now works in civilian space. And you said even just coming out of that environment where everything is like you said, you get up in the morning, you know where you're going to go, what you're doing, you're on the base, you know where your food's there, and you do your thing, and on the weekend you go out with the boys. I think he was saying it's really hard to adjust, let alone, he made that comment actually, we were talking about it before, like let alone if you've gone away like abroad in combat, it's a different kettle of fish. But it feels like that integration bit is quite difficult for people, right?
It's the whether you like it or not, you're institutionalized. I was quite a non-military person. I didn't like the discipline, didn't like the screaming and shouting, didn't like polishing boots and looking smart. I just liked being a soldier. And so I was like, I'm not institutionalized. Not one bit. I'll slip into civilian life easily. And then I left and I was like, shit, I was. Because I never had to work out my tax. I got told when to go to the doctors. I got told when to go to the dentist. I never had to pay for it. The whole thing was just, if I want to travel somewhere, I message one of the departments and they square all my travel arrangements away. And that's me. And then next thing you know, someone's telling me I've got to work out my self-assessment tax returns. I'm like, what the hell's that? You know, all those sort of things are just, that's why you're institutionalised, because you're sort of kept in a bit of a bubble.
So the kind of the four kind of pillars from the book then, you know, they feel kind of, there's a military feel to them.
Yeah.
Is that deliberate that you use that in, because you're applying this for people to use in their own lives, as in their general lives. Do you use this in your kind of day-to-day life now? Do you look at it in this way? Like, right, what are we trying to achieve? What's the mission? What's the...
To a certain degree.
For you to do that?
Without sounding like an absolute nerd, and like every time we go to the shops, I sit with Mrs. down and give her a set of orders. Right, listen in. This is how we're going to move out of the house until the next... none of that rubbish.
Operation,
She'd tell me to fuck off.
Yeah.
But, I think so. You know, at the end of a day, I will always sort of sit down with myself, and if there's been anything glaringly obvious that I feel I've done wrong, I'll look at how I can do it better. If I've upset someone, I'll be like, okay, that wasn't great behaviour. Why did I do that? I'll debrief myself, because I think I want to always better where I'm at. Building up to things, I like planning stuff. So I'll sort of make sure that I'm doing it properly. Make sure I give myself enough time, all that sort of stuff. So I do apply a lot of it.
In a third part, we're going to talk a little bit about why doing hard things is important for your mind and for your body as well. But just as we come to the end of part one, so you've got these 52 kind of challenges, 52 weeks that you focus on in the book. Could you give in a few examples of what kind of challenges are and why have you picked this way of, you know, giving people tasks to try? Why is that important?
I did it basically because, like I said, it's like a practical thing. I don't mean to like make life sound simple by breaking it down into these like parts and chapters, but I think it's a good way of doing it so people can understand like what these little challenges, whether they're challenges or just tasks to help you, you know, through certain parts of your life. But there's 52, so you could basically on a Monday open the book, right, I'm going to work on this for the week. And it'll be, as an example, some people might do some of the stuff that's in the book, they might not. The self-check-in, which I find, which has really helped me when I was struggling, but I do on a regular basis, is basically you wake up in the morning, and because I've forced myself to do it so much now, it's second nature. But essentially, I wake up on a Monday morning, and I will sit on the end of the bed, as an example, and I'll be like, all right, how am I? Am I set up for the day or the week? And if there's any form of negative feeling within me, I'll explore it. Whether that's anxiety, fear, I don't know. I'll just explore it. And by doing that, I'm working out where I'm at. And if there's something that needs addressing, I'll address it. It might not be obvious what that is to begin with, but at least what happens, what I've found happens to me is, as soon as I start acknowledging things and accepting that that's just a normal part of being a human, I feel better already. Because it's like, I might not get rid of that negative feeling, but I'm like, oh yeah, I'm feeling down because, oh, of course I'm feeling down. I'm allowed to feel down. It will pass, or I'll sort it out. Or, you know, if it's because there's a bill to pay, I'll either go and pay the bill or work out I'm going to raise the money to get it done, or, you know. And so the self-check-in is one of the, is the simplest yet hardest, because people just don't do it. People, I tell you what, living in London is a classic. You will see people rushing around, miserable, angry at other people that they've never met before. And half the time that's because they've woken up in the morning, not addressed a certain feeling, and they've tried to park it, and it's just there, eating away at them.
And it's getting them all those. And it'll get the worse road
and worse. Yeah.
I mean, it's so good to hear, if you don't mind me saying, a guy saying it as well. Because I think a lot of the time guys probably, I think traditionally, have struggled with stuff like this, like sitting with feelings and thinking about it, and especially in the military sense as well. It's really great to hear. And it's the reason that, I mean, I launched Metal, which is a men's mental fitness app, with Bear Grylls and Paul McKenna and a few of the guys. And I think one of the biggest things we want is, like, everyone, including men, to like learn to either mindfulness, like being aware of feelings, you know, meditation, and these kind of things, because actually your mindset, like, everything starts from that, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, everything starts from your mind, and like where you're at in yourself then reflects outwardly in how you behave with others, the decisions you make, your behaviors. And as you say, you look around, you can see sometimes and think, oh, that person's behaving that way, I wonder, is there something inside them that they're ignoring, they're not addressed, or they're letting out in a different way? But if you're in the morning, if you get it right, and you notice something, like you say, the check-in, and go, actually, there's something here, why am I feeling so, oh, yesterday this happened, I had an argument with, I don't know, my friend or whatever it is, like, I feel this way because of that, maybe I need to address this and not bury it. And the classic, I guess, things that people bury with traditionally, I guess, with alcohol and things like that as well, right? Burying it with the wrong things. And as we know, that often makes it worse, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it's not. It's the thing is, it's that the whole burying it, whether you're masking something with alcohol, it's just a physical injury hurts normally. You take painkillers, which is fine. It doesn't sort the injury out. It's the same with booze or, you know, I'm not a big fan of, I know they're relevant and they should be used, but I'm not a big fan in long-term psychological drugs being administered. They did me absolutely no favours whatsoever, and I was not addressing, I was numbing myself to what I should have been, like, focusing on.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things, I mean, I talk about it a lot with medication and stuff. I think medication has its role, but you can't assume that it's going to fix everything. It's like with any part of your life, thinking that doing one action is going to fix everything is part of the wider picture, if necessary. Some people don't find it helpful, and that's probably as useful as anything else. So when you're working at your toolkit for life, what are the things that work for me that might work for others?
Exactly, because we're all
get rid of the
different
stuff that doesn't work. We'll come to the end of part one there. We'll pick up the conversation in part two. I hope everyone's doing well. We will see you very soon in part two. We're going to talk a little bit about, if you're happy to, what lessons we can take from experiences in the military, the things that you've experienced, that I guess people can take into their own lives in a positive way. Guys, we'll see you very soon. Take care and goodbye.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Hold up. What was that?
Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.